Lord, we just thank you for your heart today, Lord, and your heart is full of joy, it's full of love, it's full of grace. And I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you are here, you're already here, you're moving in our lives, you're moving in our minds, Lord. You're transforming us, you're changing us. And I pray today, Lord, that we are going out 100% different from when we came in, Lord. Just different, transformed, changed, because we know that God's working in our lives. And Lord, we just declare today, he that's begun a good work is able to bring it through to the finish. And so, Lord, we just declare that over our lives. And if we're in you, Lord, and we know you, and we're saved and transformed, then we know God's got great plans for us. But if we're not, we know he's got great plans as well. We just need to come to him, surrender our lives. He wants to save us and set us free from our sin. Lord, we just declare victory over this place today. In your precious name, amen. Amen? Wow, thank you, Jesus. Our time is moving, so we are going to keep moving. I want to mention one more thing, which is we are planning to go to Latvia this year. And so maybe you've never thought of Latvia. Well, then shame on you. We are going to go this summer for 1 week. I'm really joking on that. I hadn't even thought of it before it was mentioned to me. So that's talking to me. But we're going for 1 week. I think it's the beginning of July. We're not 100% fixed on the time yet just because we're waiting to get the team together. What we're going to do is go and work with a bunch of 14 to 18-year-olds. Half of the group will be saved, half of the group won't be. There'll be about 100 kids in Latvia. We're going to go and do a summer camp with them for 5 days. So we're going to run the camp. We're going to do all of the things. You've got to be ready for that. And then we'll have a day or so at the end just to relax and enjoy the country and try to see it as best we can. We'll go check out the girls' country. We'll go see it. But we are excited to go to Latvia. If you would like to be a part of that or you'd like more information on that, come and see me ASAP or let me know and then I'll send you details in the week. We need to get a book quickly simply because the flights are cheap at the moment and we don't want them to go up and then miss out or means that some people can't go. So think about Latvia, pray about Latvia. We'll also be doing a bigger trip and then we'll have our home trip in Armagh where we'll just make a small trip to the States and we're going to bless people out there. Is that okay? Amen. So today I want to talk about this. This is what God's put in my heart. I had this phrase all week, and I felt like we're going to think about it for a few weeks to come. Impossible. And I think we even mentioned it today. Impossible. Like the things that Damien and Janine are going to go to do seem impossible to everybody else. They probably seem like madness to everybody else. But with God, all things are possible. And I felt like God was saying to us is that we have to remind ourselves in the midst of all of the battles that we go through, in the midst of all that we see in the news, in the midst of all the terrorism. I mean, we didn't even pray today for Florida, but that's something that should be on our minds. But there are people that are being murdered. There are people that are being attacked. And the guy even said it himself. He said, I don't know what reason I did it for, but I felt like demons told me to go and do it. And so the powers of darkness are very evident. They're real. We get to see them more and more and more, whether it's up close or on the TV or on the internet or wherever it is. And if we're not careful, what can tend to happen is the weight of that, the pressure of that can push us under and we can say, whoa, I don't know if I can do more than just exist. I don't know if I can do more than just a prayer for a few moments. I don't know if I can do more than just try to keep myself right. But the thought of trying to do anything else or be anything to anybody else or to go out and save anybody else or to talk about God to anybody else just seems too heavy. There's just too much heaviness. It seems impossible. And God says this morning, it may seem impossible for you and it may be impossible for everybody else, but it is not impossible for me. And so what I want us to do this morning is bring it back into alignment and know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we ended up buying, just to remind yourself, last year we had a scary dream that maybe we would buy building number two. And by September, we had $175,000 and we bought it. It was incredible. And I thought to myself, God, what are you going to do this year? What are you going to do this year? What are you going to challenge us with? What are you going to scare us with? What are you going to make us afraid with, Lord, that we can believe for impossible things? You see, God says, I want you to trust me each and every day. I don't want us to get complacent and think to ourselves, wow, God did amazing things back then. God did amazing things back then. We've probably used up all that we can. God says, no, what are we dreaming for this year? What are we believing for this year? I've got good news for you. We have done up some amazing plans for next door. They're so good, I don't want to show them to you because they're just too scary. They're just too scary. Do you know what? They're actually so big, they're impossible. They're absolutely impossible. But then I'm reminded that God can do the impossible. I'm reminded of that. And I feel like over this next few weeks where God wants to take us is on a journey of self-awareness, of reawakening in our own hearts, in our own lives, to believe that things like cancer don't scare Jesus. Things like sickness and death don't scare the Lord. Things like a building next door that's going to cost X amount of money doesn't scare the Lord. He's not afraid of anything. In fact, impossible isn't even in his vocabulary. He's never spoke the word because it makes no sense to him. because nothing's ever been impossible to him. Think about that this morning. No matter what he has faced, no matter what challenge has come before him, he's always known about it. He's always had a plan for it. He's always had a way around it. He's always been able to bring breakthrough because there's no one before him and there's no one after him. He is the Alpha and Omega. And the Lord is here this morning. He wants to remind us, I'm in the business of doing impossible things. What is your impossible today? What is your impossible? I mean, here's the big vision that we have for Armagh. And you know what? I actually think it's too small. But I want to give it to you anyway because I want to remind us of what our vision is. Our vision is this, is that we would see all of Armagh saved. Wow, that seems an incredible thought. But in reality, there's only 15,000 odd people that's in the center of Armagh. So it actually feels too small. It actually feels too small. It feels like we're limiting ourselves. Because if we went to a football stadium in England, most of the Premiership stadiums in England, and we put 15,000 people into it, we'd say the place is half empty. The place is dead. There's no atmosphere. There's no people around. Where's everybody gone? And so God says this morning, what are we believing for? Because we could actually be believing for something that we thought was big, but when we bring it into perspective, it's actually quite tiny. Now, there's nothing wrong with the belief, and there's nothing wrong with the faith in wanting that, but let's not say, God, that's too hard for me, and that must be too hard for you. Let's bring it into alignment with what God says. And God says, it's not too hard for me. It's not too hard for me, for God so loved the world that he came and he laid down his life for the whole world, past, present, and future. Put that in our minds. This morning, to think of that from now to eternity, whenever that will be, all the generations that will be born from then to now to the end, God has already died for them. Jesus has already laid down his life for them. An incredible, incredible thing. How does that make any sense? It makes perfect sense when you can do the impossible. It makes perfect sense to God. And God is here this morning, and he wants to remind us what our vision is. Our number one goal is to see a city transformed. It's the reason that we're here. It's the reason that we come every single week. We want to see your life transformed. We want to see Armagh transformed. We want to see the surrounding towns transformed. We want to see, you know what, sneakily what we're thinking is? We're going to take over the whole world. We've always thought that. We've always dreamt that. We felt like we're going to take over the whole world. We looked at it like a Hillsong. We thought, we can be better than that. I mean, that's what we're really thinking in our hearts. Not with an ego, but with incredible humility, because we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? And if we were prepared to go for God like never before, what's to say that we couldn't do greater things than that? Somebody has to dream it. Somebody has to believe it. Somebody has to dare to pray it. Otherwise, it never happens. And the truth is, God's down for it to happen. He died for it to happen. He died to set us free. And he said, I want you to believe in the impossible things. And so what has he called us to do? He has called us to stand out today. He has called us to stand out in a dark world and shine bright. He has called us to stand firm. He has called us to go with revival in our hearts and carry it everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we bring transformation. Remember in the early days of the disciples in the book of Acts, it said that their very shadow people would get healed. We're like, whoa, you just healed me. We're like, what? Because their shadow just transformed people. And God wants to remind us today, it's not a joke, it's deeply serious, that you have the power to transform people's lives because Jesus lives in you. The hope of glory lives in you. And we can choose to hide that under a bushel, hide our light under a lampstand, or we can shine tall on the nearest mountaintop or wherever we find ourselves in Armagh or wherever you go. And you can see people's lives transformed by the witness that you carry. By the witness that you carry. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. That's okay. That's okay for you, but not me. Or that's okay for somebody else, but you don't know the way that I've been. You don't know the way that I think. You don't know the way that I go. Well, this morning I want us to see that in spite of who we are, God does incredible things. In spite of who we are, it doesn't really matter to him. He wants to do incredible things. He's looking for a life that's willing and obedient, like Damien and Janine. Willing and obedient, saying, will you sacrifice? Will you surrender? Will you lay down these things? Because I know they seem impossible, but nothing's impossible to me. I don't even know the word. I just know the word possible. All things are possible. And this is what I want us to look at this morning. I want us to look this morning at the life of Moses. And I know time is going, so we're not going to get to the half of this, but I'm going to bless you later on by sending you the notes if you so desire. But I want us to think about Moses today. Moses is a great example, because whenever it's all said and done, and we get each other excited, and we get each other G'd up, or whatever we're going to do this morning, when it's all said and done, you'll be like, yeah, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I've been through. And I want us to think this morning, get real with the life of Moses, to look at a guy who had plenty of circumstances, and in all honesty, do you know what? His life was in an utter mess. His life was a mess, but it was a mess in God's hands. And he surrendered his life to God, and he was usable for God, and he allowed God to use him. And that was the simple overriding truth of Moses' life. He said, here I am, God. I'm ready to go. I mightn't be qualified. I mightn't be good enough. I know I've got a terrible past, but I will go if you've called me to go. And God says this morning, you're all pretty much the same. We've all got a past. We're all pretty much a mess. But God says, if you're willing to come with me, I can do incredible things with your life. I can transform you. I read this on Facebook just the other day. There's a good thing I read on Facebook. Not too many times do you read good things. But here's what it said. Do not allow your present circumstance to limit your future expectations. Do not allow your present circumstance to limit your future expectations or what you're believing for next. Because it's true. The present circumstance that you could be in could be like a dictator to you that says, wow, I'd love to do all of this. I'd love to do all of that. But I'll never do it because circumstances won't allow me. You just don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my situation. Here's what it says in Exodus 3, chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read it together. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro, at the priest of Midian. He led the flock into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, listen to this, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed with flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, here I am. And then for sake of time, we skip down to verse 10. It says, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. Wow. This Moses guy must have been the best person that was ever born. I mean, think about it. You read this story this morning, think to yourself, oh, I wish I was like Moses. I wish God would show up to me like in the TV or something, or I wish he would show up to me in the cattle. I don't know what it is. What is your burning bush this morning? But I wish the Lord would just show up to me. I wish he would just talk to me in the morning as I'm getting ready. It would get me awake better. I wish he would just talk to me like this. And at the end of it, you think to yourself, he must be the bee's knees. This Moses guy, he must be the apple of God's eye. There must be nobody like Moses. We said already, the truth is his life is a mess. We're going to look at it in a moment. And maybe there could be some people looking at our lives going, oh, I wish I was just like them. Or I wish it was like those vibe guys. They seem to be able to buy buildings in their sleep. It just seems to be no big deal to them. You know, and they might think that we're like super amazing people. You know what the truth is? Pretty messy. Pretty messy. As Damien says, 20,000, no, Lord, what are we going to do? That's it. We're like, have we done the right thing? Are we going the right ways? Are we praying the right stuff? Are we believing the right things? Have we made a huge mistake? These are all the things that go around our minds. Why? Because we're human. Why? Because we sometimes worry, have we made the right choices? Have we made big mistakes? And the other reason is because we know we're not squeaky clean, unfortunately. We know we're not squeaky clean. We know some of the things we thought this week are not good. We know some of the things we've said this week are not good. Get thee behind me, Satan. We know some of the things that we've allowed ourselves to be a part of are terrible. They're sinful. They're shameful. They're no good for me. And yet I was still there. And God says, I see all of that. And I saw all of that in Moses' life. And yet I called him in verse 10, now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. And if you don't know the story, Moses was sent as a man to be a rescuer, to be a Jesus-like figure, to be a redeemer for the people of Israel, and to take them out of captivity, out of slavery, and to lead well over a million odd people, depends on the numbers, what you count, but to lead well over a million odd people from captivity to freedom. What an incredible job he was given by God. He must have been an incredible guy. No, he was pretty ordinary like me and you, but God was pretty incredible. God is absolutely incredible. And so this morning, God is calling us into impossible situations. And the first thing to note about Moses' life is this. He was not worthy. You would think this. You would think that for Moses to be called to be able to perform such a big task as this, he has to be pretty worthy. He was not worthy in the slightest. Maybe it sounds a bit like you this morning. You are not worthy in the slightest. But guess who makes you worthy? Jesus. He has made you worthy. And so what do we do with this worthiness that he has given us? We serve him with our whole hearts, with our whole lives, with everything that we've got. Because he's called me worthy. He has made me worthy. Moses was not perfect. He was a failure. He had a messy past. He had made huge mistakes. He had made huge mistakes. And here's the lie of the enemy this morning. That God could use you if only you were a tiny bit better. God could use you if only you were more worthy. God could use you if you would only be a bit more worthy because then you'd stand out from everybody else. Do you know where God found Moses? Hiding in the middle of the wilderness. And he called him, said, you got to come with me. And here's what I fully believe from the life of Moses. And the number one thing, if we don't get anything else this morning because time's going to beat us, or if you switch off or you fall asleep, whatever that would be, is this. Is that God called Moses because he absolutely loved him. He absolutely loved him. See, his love triumphs over all of that. His love conquers over all of our unworthiness. His love conquers over all of our shame, over all of our sin, over all the negative thoughts, over all the terrible circumstances that we find ourselves in. And God meets Moses in the midst of the wilderness that he'd been there for years because he was running away from his past. Does it sound like any of us this morning? And yet God found him, he anointed him, he blessed him, he called him, and he set him free from his past, and he brought him through to his destiny. Why? Not because God wanted to use him, but because God loved him. He absolutely loved him. And God sees us this morning, wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstances you've had, whatever past you've had, and it's his love that's going to bring you back. It's his love that's going to transform you. It's his love that's going to call you into the impossible and see you do impossible things because God is with you, because of his incredible love. What lies have we been believing that says, oh, if only I was a bit more worthy, then God can use you. I'm so glad my unworthiness doesn't prevent God from using any one of us because he's more than worthy. He closes with his righteousness. When the Lord looks at us, he sees the precious blood of Jesus. He does not see our good or bad deeds. He sees what Jesus has done. And then he says, come work for the kingdom. Come and work for the kingdom. Don't be disabled by the past. Come and work for me in the present and look forward to the future because I have called you to be a transformational tool in my kingdom. Second quick thing about Moses this morning was he had no chance. We're going to read it today. Moses had no chance. He was born at the wrong time, in the wrong place, to the wrong family. It's the truth. He's born at the wrong place at the wrong time to the wrong family. He had no choice. He had no chance. There was no opportunity for Moses. He was a dead man walking from day number one. From day number one, he had no opportunity because he was born to the wrong people, the Israelites. They were the wrong people. In that day, the Egyptians controlled everything. He was born at the wrong time because we're going to read it in just a moment. The king was mad. King Pharaoh came in and he said, I'm going to wipe out every young baby that's born, every Hebrew child, every Israelite child that's born. Moses was one of them. He was a dead man from day number one. And yet God was able to do something. God was able to move, no matter the circumstances. Here's what it says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. It says, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn, listen to this, throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Oh, thank you so much. The girls are going to live, but the boys are gone. The boys are gone. This is the truth. This was the truth of the kingdom that Moses was born into. This is where he was born into. That basically the moment he's going to be born, he's going to be thrown into the river to drown, to be defeated, to death, instant death. No hope, no future, no plans. Moses was born at the wrong time, born at the wrong place. Everything was terrible in the start. Maybe it's the same for you this morning. Maybe everything was wrong in your start. Maybe everything's still wrong in your life. But if you could meet Jesus, everything could be transformed. Everything, every impossibility becomes possible in the precious love of Jesus Christ. We're saved, we're redeemed, we're transformed. He was doomed. Exodus 1:11 tells us this. So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. Crushing labor. I love what it says at the end of it. Don't miss this part. It says they appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor, but they could not. If we had time this morning, and I encourage you, read Exodus 1, 2, and 3. If you had time, and you should have some time later on, hopefully, go and read Exodus chapter 1, where it says, no matter how hard Pharaoh tried to push the people of God down, they flourished all the more. No matter how much he tried to oppress them, no matter how much he tried to push them down, they just seemed to flourish. They seemed to multiply. They seemed to do great things because God's favor was on them. And God says this morning, there may be an enemy that is pushing you down, that is crushing you financially, that is crushing you in your health, that is crushing you in your emotions, that is crushing you mentally, that you've just been pressed and pressed and pressed and crushed for years. And God says, but my favor is still on you. My favor is still upon you. I'm ready to redeem you. I'm ready to set you free. I'm ready to call my people out. And so Moses was born at the wrong time to the wrong people, to the wrong family. And yet God still said he had a great future for his life. God says exactly the same over us this morning. Why? Because of his incredible love towards you. Born at the wrong time, born in the wrong place, born to the wrong family, but God had an incredible destiny for his life. Makes no sense. Seems impossible, but our God is able to do impossible things. Third thing was this, is that it should have been all up for Moses. There should have been no hope for him, but he had favor in the midst of persecution. We're going to read Exodus 2, chapter 2, verse 2, going to read down to verse 4. It says, about this time a man, here's where Moses is born. About this time a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus, reeds, and waterproofed in tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and lay it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen next, or what would happen to him. Wow. We come to this part of the story where Moses is born. He's born. This is terrible. God, why did you make Moses born at this time? Because God had a plan. Because God had a future for him. Now look what happens at the end. It says in verse 3, Moses is placed in this basket and he's placed on the Nile River. This makes no sense whatsoever because the Nile River is a place of death. And yet his family have sent him there in the hope that it might be a place of new life. It might be a place of new birth. It might be a place of resurrection. It might be a place of new opportunities. See, sometimes the enemy thinks he's got us beat because he's got us in the place of death. And then the Lord just raises us from the dead. Is that not the truth of our lives? That we were born and shaped in sin, that our destiny was death, that we had no hope, that we were always going to die, that we had no hope, no escape from hell, and then Jesus came. And in the midst of our death, in the midst of our trespasses, in the midst of our shame, he comes down, he raises us up, he sets us free, he transforms our lives, and he gives us a bright future and an incredible hope. Wow. We love Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, we love it so much, we quote it all the time, but that is truth right there. He's got plans to prosper you. They're of good and not of evil. God has fought too hard for you to let you go. He says, don't give up on me. Keep going, because in the midst of your place of death could be your biggest transformation. Could be your biggest transformation, because God is for you and he's able to do impossible things. Here's what the story says, and again, we have time to read it all, but I'm going to summarize it for you. He gets placed in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river. She spots this baby. She goes, oh my goodness, this must be one of the Hebrew boys that my father, remember, it's her dad that kills these babies. This must be one of the Hebrew boys that my dad has decided to kill. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know what she says? We're going to keep this baby. We're going to keep this baby. You see, the Lord's able to turn the enemy around even for your good. The Lord is able to turn around any circumstances for your good. Just keep trusting him, keep believing him, keep having faith in him, because even in the midst of the impossible, he's able to do the possible. And so she turns around. She says, we got to keep this baby. We got to look after this Hebrew boy. Now, this is where the story just gets incredible. If you've forgotten it from Sunday school, let me remind you. She says, we've got to get a nurse. We've got to get a nurse. And they said, where are we going to get a nurse from? The woman goes away. She says, I know the perfect person for this baby. She goes away and she brings back Moses' mom and she becomes his nurse. Unbelievable. The enemy thought he had won. The enemy thought he had defeated this mom. It must have been the hardest decision in the world. Imagine, she tried to hide him for 3 months and then the game was up. She says, I can't hide him any longer. I've got to get rid of him. I've got to put him in a basket. I've got to hope for the impossible. What does Moses' mom end up doing? She lets go. She gives up control. She places all of our hopes and dreams, all of her preciousness in Moses because he's a special baby, and she gives it over to God. She puts him in the place of death, the Nile River. And by the end of it, the Lord's hand moves all of these things, and she becomes a nurse to the princess. And she looks after her baby in peace and tranquility and security from right till he becomes an older man. Unbelievable what the Lord can do in the midst of your circumstances. Do not give up hope. Do not start to trust and believe the devil when he starts to scream those lies at you and says, oh, this is your place of death now. You've got no hope now. You're actually in the river. You were the one that even put your baby in the river. You've got no hope. You actually killed your own baby. And the Lord says, no, you actually set him free because you give him to me. And this morning, the Lord says, I want you to set yourself free by giving me the biggest things that shame you, the biggest things that worry you, the biggest things that concern you, the biggest things that hold you back, the biggest things that you think are impossible. And give them to the Lord this morning. And watch how he is going to turn them around for his glory and for his victory, because he loves you. The Lord says this morning, I'm for you. I'm not against you. You're able to do incredible things. Says this later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. Think about this. Wow. Hebrew son being adopted into an Egyptian family, and not just any old Egyptian family, right into the king's family. If the king knew it, wow, what would he think? What would he believe? He couldn't believe it. Says, adopted as her own son, the princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. I lifted him out of the water. He gets a new identity. He gets a new name. He's adopted into the wrong family, but the Lord's got his hand on Moses because the Lord's going to do incredible things with Moses. He doesn't even know it yet, but God's going to do incredible things with him. And you may be in the midst of your darkest trial this morning. You may be going through a trial of your own doing, of something you've made of yourself. And you think to yourself, there's no way God's ever going to use me again. There's no way God's ever going to do it. But God says, no, I'm greater than all of that. I'm bigger than all of that. You never deserved anything. But I already decided when I went to the cross, you deserved it all. You deserved me. And the Lord is here this morning. He's saying, stop thinking all that negative junk. Stop thinking all those silly lies that the enemy's trying to feed you, to disable you, to cripple you, to pull you out of my love, to pull you out of my walk, to pull you out of my purposes. And know this, that I died for you because you're amazing. You're incredible. You're wonderful. I love you. You're the apple of my eye. I sing over you day after day after day. I can't get enough of you, says the Lord. And the Lord is here to bring us in to life again, to bring us back to life. I want us to think about this for a moment again today as we're getting nearly to the end. I'm just getting too excited. But the Lord says this, that whenever Satan thought that he had the baby defeated in the river, the Lord was setting it all up perfectly. And you might be here today and you think to yourself, I've had to give away so much. I've had to give up so much. I've had to lose so many things. I've had to go through so many trials and so many battles. And right at the point where he was doomed became his new destiny. Right at the point when he was totally defeated, suddenly he was transformed. Moses found himself in the river Nile, the place where he would die, and suddenly his whole identity changed. It should have been his graveyard, but it became his new birth. It became like that tomb where he went into, and then the stone was rolled away, and suddenly he came out a new man, ready to serve God, ready to do things for the kingdom of God. Our God is absolutely incredible. And in case you thought that Moses went on to live the best life ever, he did not. Because he was the same as all the rest of us. He messed up again. He messed up again. And there are so many of us that are here today and thought, you know what, I decided last year I was going to read the whole Bible and I never even got past Genesis. I'm the world's worst Christian. You know, the start of this year I decided I was going to pray for 15 minutes every day. I haven't even done 5 most weeks. I mean, this is where we find ourselves because we're human beings. We make mistakes. We're frail. I mean, God says, in your weakness, I make you strong. And we've got to be careful that we're not trying to do things in our own strength, but we're doing them in his strength, and we're doing them because we've heard from him, not because we think it's a good idea or because we think God will be pleased with us if we do this or we do that. God is pleased with us when we show faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know what God gets pleased with? When we have faith for impossible things. When we say in the midst of our shame, in the midst of our despair, God, maybe you've called me to do this. Maybe you've called me to do this. Maybe you've called me to do that. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith. That's what God's pleased with. That's what God loves. He loves it when we step out in faith and we do incredible things for him. In faith and we try for him and we go for him and we believe for things. You know what the devil loves? When we sit tight and we say, I'm not worthy. I couldn't do it. Impossible. That's for somebody else. God couldn't use me. You don't know my past. Here's the truth of Moses. I'll read it quickly because I know our time's gone. It says this. Moses decided to fight for justice one day because he saw some Egyptians beating up an Israelite. And so he got in the middle of it. And before you know it, he'd killed a guy. Killed a guy. Now think about this. He went to fight for justice. We can all go fight for justice, but you shouldn't end up killing somebody. That's not what we're aiming for. And Moses, who has destiny on his life, who has purpose on his life, who will know full well from the stories of his mother how much God's hand was on his life when he went into the river and was transformed and got to come to the palace, he would have known the destiny was on his life, and yet he was still able to make a mistake like that. He fought for justice. He killed a man. You would have thought he would have went and owned up to his troubles. He didn't. Go and read the story in Exodus 2. You know what he thought? I need to get away from here. People's going to start to turn against me. I'm going to be found out. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be ashamed, embarrassed. I'm going to be put to the sword. And so he runs away. He runs away. And he runs and he hides and he escapes. And many of us today might find ourselves on a marathon going the wrong direction. It's part of what we're going to do soon, as Gordon has said. We're going to do a marathon. We're going to do it. We're going to do a marathon for whatever it is, the Belfast Marathon. We're going to do many legs each. Let's go for it. We're going to try our best anyway. But you could find yourself running in the wrong direction because of shame and disgrace, because of the mistakes you've made. It's exactly what the enemy wants. And God says, no, no, no. Make sure you turn around and you start to run in the right direction because I've called you. I've set my heart upon you. I've set my purposes upon you. My grace is upon you. My love is upon you. I have removed your shame. I have got a destiny, an incredible future for you. Do not allow the enemy to rob you. Moses runs away. He runs away, a defeated man, and he lives there for years and years and years. And then the Lord comes to him again, and he speaks in a burning bush. And maybe we're here today, and we need God to speak to us in the midst of a burning bush. Maybe it's something else for you. But you need to hear the word of the Lord this morning that says, I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. I've got destiny in your life no matter what. I love you no matter what. Over and over and over again. Maybe you need to stand in front of the mirror and you need to declare that over your life. God loves me no matter what. And you need to say it about yourself. I love myself no matter what because God's for me. Because if you don't love yourself, if you don't know how much you're worth in God's hands and in God's heart, then you're not going to fulfill the destiny and the plans that God's got for you. The devil will continuously just nip away at you. He'll continuously just pull away at you. But this morning, God loves you and it transforms you over and over and over and over again. Moses' life was just a series of ups and downs, mess ups, screw ups. He just did every wrong thing in the book that you could believe. And yet the Lord says, you're still my leader. You're still my man. You're still my woman. I've still got destiny on your life. Guys, I'm going to skip and just finish with this because I wanted to finish with this. Is that God has put vision in our hearts this year. And this is why we're talking about impossible things. He's put vision in our hearts. And I want to tell you just a couple of quick fun things really quickly as we're getting ready to sing. And then you can run out or do whatever you need to do. But Damien mentioned it earlier, we have a great worship team. We got amazing guys, and I want you to keep praying for them every time because they come week after week after week. Not always on time, but faithfully. We'll give them that. We're going to pray for punctuality. We don't want to love them too much. But they're faithful. Absolutely. No, they are. They're absolutely faithful. Absolutely amazing, and we love them so much. We're so blessed by them. But what we're going to do is, this is a dream that God put in our hearts. We're going to release 3 mini singles this year, not for our fame whatsoever, but all for Jesus' fame. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to record Reckless Love as our first one. We've got most of it done. We're going to go next door, and we're going to sing it in our impossible building. We're going to sing it in our impossible place, and we're going to say, God, the same God who gave us this is the same God who's able to supply all of our needs. So we're going to do Reckless Love. And then what we did is a fun challenge. We challenged all of our guys to go and write songs, and they came back with 2 good songs. They gave me an impossible challenge. Because I'm trying to pick one so we can have 2 songs. So we'll have a song that everybody knows, and then we'll have a song that these guys have written themselves. Again, this is just all for Jesus, for them to allow them to express their gifts and express their talents. And you know what? Maybe we'll beat Hillsong one day. That's what we're believing too. Only joking. But this is what we're going to do. So we're going to do 3 singles this year. So I want you to pray for that. We're going to do Easter. It's coming up really soon. We're going to record a video next door, which reminds me, we need you to be a part of it. If you would like to be a part of it, on the 4th of March, we're going to go next door into the middle of the building. Pray that it doesn't fall on us. And we are going to sing for 45, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it needs. We're going to video it, and we're going to sing Reckless Love together. And so if you'd like to be a part of it, you'd like to be a worshiper, you'd like to be on that video, then keep that free. 4th of March afternoon, we're going to go in there, we're going to sing. We're just going to tell the world of what Jesus has done for us. We're going to tell the world that in the midst of this place of shame, in the midst of this place of death, where so many people lost their marriages, where so many people got drug addictions, got alcohol addictions, where so many people lost everything, we're going to go in and we're going to sing about the reckless love of God that allowed us to build this building that nobody else wanted for a price that nobody else wanted to pay, and he provided all the funds, and he'll provide them all right to the end. So we're going to do that. We mentioned already, we're going to do a crazy thing like run the Belfast Marathon. So if you would like to get fit, then your challenge is to come join us and do one of the legs. We're going to do one of the legs of the marathon, or if you're up for it, you can do half of it, or you can do all of it, or do whatever you need to do. But we're going to challenge ourselves, because we're going to believe that God wants to call us in to bigger and better things, impossible things. And why are we doing all of this? Why are we doing all of this? Because all of this will lead to the breakthrough of our city. All of us will lead to the breakthrough of people going, wow, look at those guys. They're crazy. Look at these. Look at this. Look at that. They will see from our example, and they will go, wow. Maybe I could come to know a Jesus like that. Maybe I could come to know a God like that. So we need to pray for it. So we're going to believe for the singles. We're going to believe for our next door project. We're going to believe for multiple mission trips like we mentioned already. And we're going to believe for the marathon. And there are many other things, but I'm going to skip them for now because our time is gone. Can we stand together? We're going to worship.